God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so whoever believeth in him should not perish, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hello, everyone. This is the second recording in the series Journey from Loneliness. Okay, we've all been through a lot. We've all changed. I think the main point to mention before starting my memoir, is just to acknowledge that all of us have been through something we never thought we would never experience, we couldn't have imagined. And I believe that it has caused us all to question the order of things. Life as we know it has changed. And this may be difficult to accept, but I think a lot of us will agree that it's never going to be the same again. But there is a lot of hope, you know? And this is just continuing on my journey of how I moved out of loneliness into life, and to show you and share with you where my hope comes from. Now, I just want to quote you something that I firmly believe in, is that my hope now comes from above. It doesn't come from the material world any longer. My hope now comes from above. And I'm going to explain that in a lot more detail as we go through this part two. Now, to start by way of an introduction, the song that I've sung to you is a hymn by Stainer called God So Loved the World. Now, God So Loved the World is part of the Bible. Now, it's in, I believe it's John 3:3. And why this song is significant is because I always loved music as a child, ever since I was a very small girl growing up, long before there was the internet, long before there was music streaming. I used to play my parents' record player, plug-in record player from the 60s, which gives you an indication of my age. But why this is significant, because music always had a very important part in my life. Was very excited by music, and in particular I loved music to do with performing. And even as a little girl, before I really understood what that meant, I would act out the songs from my parents' record collection. And one of those was, I think, Perry Como, When You're Smiling, The Whole World Smiles With You, and Dean Martin's songs and all the rest of those sort of era. But my love of music and performing, I believe, is something that it is, again, comes from above, you see. Because the one who made me is the same person who made you. And he doesn't make any mistakes at all, you see. And he's the one that's put the gifts in you. He's the one that's put the desires in you, the good ones, the righteous ones that line up with who he is, because he's a righteous and holy God. So I think what I'm saying here is that you may feel that you're completely alone in this world, but I just want to tell you that you're not. And there's someone in heaven, a friend you can rely on, who knows you intimately. He knows every hair that's on your head. He knows when you wake up and when you come in the evening. He knows absolutely everything about you. And he can see every intricate part of your life. He sees your heart. He sees everything. And that same person is the same person who led me to explore this love of performing, this love of music. And one day I was singing in the choir, and we used to sing very classic songs, you know, a lot of hymns. And it was my college choir, further education, just an ordinary further education college, but they had a choir. And I was being introduced to this song, and I'd never heard it before. And I was just so overcome by the words of this song that I found myself, I had a lump in my throat reading the words of this song. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And although all my life I believed in Jesus, I'd never been to church. I wasn't somebody who grew up in the church. Sunday school for me, I thought children were going to school to have extra lessons. I didn't actually know what that was. And so through this song, I was led to explore what church was about. And so I went to my local church, and you know, it's difficult to remember the intricate details of everything that happened that first day. But I remember looking at the church notice board on the outside, you know, the one that's got the sort of plug-in letters, they used to plug them into the board like a little children's game, you know, they'd plug in the letters in the little holes. And I noticed that the reverend of this church, a Methodist church it was, he had the same surname as me. Now, I have got a very, very unusual surname, very rare surname. And it just happened that he had the same surname as me. And so I took that as a sign, and I believe now with all my heart that it was. It was like a little line of breadcrumbs. I showed interest in something, and then it just grew. Because of my interest, it just grew and grew. But I'll come back to that another time. But when I first went to church, I was very, very, very nervous about going in because I didn't know any of the culture. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I didn't know. And so you feel very awkward. And also, just going back a little bit, the only times that I was ever in church were for family celebrations, you know, weddings, christenings, and unfortunately, you know, funerals. But every time I entered into a church, I would be overcome with emotion. I started to cry. You know, it's like anything that was kind of pent up in me, it just seemed to come out when I went into churches. And I didn't understand this. And I think now when I think about it, and again, I'll come back to this, I was walking into the presence of the Lord. And in his presence, God says, in his presence is fullness of joy. And so as I was walking into a church, I was walking in to the Lord's presence. And it was his presence that was causing all of these things that I was struggling with to kind of just wash away and just bubble up to the surface. It's like in his presence, all of this stuff was just bubbling up to the surface and coming off me. Or I was just sensitive. put it another way, or I, when I went into the church, I was becoming sensitized to his presence. Now, we can explore this in more detail a bit later on, but just going back to my first journey into church, I got such a lovely welcome. I was in my 20s, and I just wanted to know more about him. I wanted to know who. I wanted to understand what I had been singing about this God who had sent his only begotten son for me. I was just so overcome by that. And so that began my journey, okay? So that began my journey, if you like, there. My journey into God, but I'll come back to this at a later point. But the most important thing to remember about this, it was a season. I don't know whether it lasted maybe 4 years, 3 years, I don't remember. But I remember making the decision not to become confirmed. And my reason for this, and I think it was the wrong reason, but I'll share it with you. My reason for this was, I don't want to let the Lord down. And I felt that at that time, if I had made the commitment then, I would have let him down. But I just want to say to you right now, don't do like I did. I encourage you that the time for getting to know your Maker is now. It's now. It's now. And I'll tell you the reason for that. Imagine a village, okay, a very sort of ancient village, okay. Everything is stone, everything is handmade, everything is hand ground, everything is physical. Imagine a people in that village that only know what they can see, taste, and feel. They're dependent on their own means. They're dependent on getting their own bread. They're dependent on going out and getting their own meat. They're depending on getting all their fishing. Okay? But there's one man in the village that doesn't depend on what he sees, what he feels, and what he hears. And he goes out every morning, and he goes up to the mountaintop, and he sits in the quiet, and he waits for God. And then once he's come down from the mountaintop, he's full of the presence of God. And he goes back into the village. And he lives his life. But there's a difference. He's not living his life only on bread alone, only on what he can see. He's living his life with the presence of God as his internal co-labor. You see, because this is the thing about loneliness. We were never meant, one, to be alone in the village, but we were never meant to be separated from God. We were meant to go through our life hand in hand with God. Now, I didn't know this, even as believing person who believed in Jesus. I believed in him. I know he was the Son of God, but I knew nothing about him. But what I'm going to try and do in this broadcast is to roll out how I learnt to be that man on the mountain.